Hi, and welcome to the IDEMS podcast. I'm David Stern, the founding director of IDEMS, and it's my pleasure to be here again with Kate Fleming, another of our directors. Kate, we finished our last episode transitioning, so to speak, to talking about the school textbooks and the recent event in Kenya, the STAC conference. I'm keen to dig into this. Is that okay?
No, it's great. And I think it's an interesting juxtaposition from ICOTS to the STAC conference, and just to think about those different levels, even though technically one is statistics and one is mathematics education, but actually there's so much overlap, and I think we'll get into that.
Absolutely. And just to remind listeners, if you didn't listen to the previous episode, Kate and I were discussing ICOTS, the International Conference on Teaching Statistics, and relating the work that's happening more generally on the integration of AI into statistics and data science education to the work that we've been involved in doing on these textbooks and community around reusable and adaptable textbooks. And we're transitioning now. We then went from Australia to Kenya, and there was a conference there, the STAC conference, which is this electronic assessment system. There have been previous episodes on that. And at the heart of that conference was the work coming out of Kenya on these same textbooks, these adaptive textbooks for high schools. And there's some really interesting work happening in Kenya. I'll speak a bit more to that. But through the course of the week, there was real engagement by colleagues in Ghana. And so there is now momentum growing for the Ghanaian textbooks and to have these similar textbooks in Ghana. There was a whole contingent from Ethiopia, including somebody from the STEM office in the Ministry of Education, who was really engaged with saying, we need to digitize the Ethiopian textbooks in these ways as well. So that's an exciting development which may happen. And there was also the one that really surprised me, but I'm really delighted by, was South Sudan. Colleagues from South Sudan who are working at Juba University actually were saying, well, we actually are engaged in schools as well. Here are the textbooks used in South Sudan. Could we make these interactive as well? And how would this work? What would this look like? And so we're currently engaging with the ministry through them, who are the owners of those textbooks, to see if that's something which could happen as well. And so there's this real momentum gathering around trying to get these systems to make these interactive textbooks with formative assessment embedded available at scale, and to actually do the research on this to see, can we get evidence of how this changes learning, how students use it, how teachers use it? And that's the main thing. It is the engagement of educators. And for that, the most exciting thing is what's happening in Kenya with this master's program from the Open University of Kenya, where teachers are hopefully going to be able to enroll on this master's program as of September. And as part of that, we'll be introduced to not only the textbooks as an open educational resource amongst many, but also the ability to contribute to open educational resources, including the textbooks, and to become agents of change, to become authors themselves, to be engaged in actually developing these tools rather than just consuming them.
There was so much you just talked through there, but I would say there are a couple of things that come out for me. First of all, what is so obvious in all of this is how much local ownership there is. So any idea that it's like, well, we're just developing this solution and then we just hand it to somebody, even just the way you're talking about it, it's so obviously so collaborative, so requiring of local stakeholders, local educators, local administrators and ministries and all these different players who are getting involved to make this work. So I think that that's an interesting angle that comes out a lot more when you're talking about it in this context. I would say the other thing is, this is a nice moment to mention that it's actually Sammy is running a crowdfunder for the Kenyan textbooks. And that has raised, I think, to date about £7,500. And actually a lot has been accomplished with that. So I think that idea that with relatively small amounts of money, although obviously a lot more would be much more helpful, but that we can really make progress and get things to levels. I think that initial funding got the grade 10 Kenyan textbooks off the ground to really start piloting that in some local contexts, getting feedback, all those different things. It allowed the Kenyan team to make connections with Semesteia, which is the ministry that does accreditation. They've had conversations with textbook publishers who have existing networks and relationships. You see how all of this grassroots and not grassroots, this system that's already there, but maybe doesn't have some of the elements that it needs, can be tapped into. And so I guess this is a bit of a call out for that crowdfunding that we're always raising for that would be great to be able to direct more funds in that direction, particularly for Kenyan research and how we're really validating the value and impact of this. But yeah, there's so much to unpack in that. So I don't know if we just want to bring it back more to the conference itself.
Actually, let me just draw on a couple of things you've called out here, in particular these government partners. So the latest discussions with Semester have said, well, actually, we can do the teaching resources. So if we can improve and we can work with you on the teaching resources, then that's something which is within our remit. Semester is actually the training body for teachers within the Kenyan system and beyond. But we cannot use the textbook unless it is approved by KICD, which is a whole nother government organization. So we cannot get it to learners unless it goes through an approval process with KICD. And that's exactly where this link with the publishers is so important, that the KICD processes need to be done by a publisher. And so these systems are built up and they exist and they're complex. And so navigating all of them, so KICD is the Kenyan Institute of Curriculum Development, they actually approve the learning resources. And as a government organization, Semester cannot use learning resources with students that have not been approved by the approval body. Absolutely correctly so. But the processes are non-trivial. My understanding is that without a commercial publisher, it is not possible to get the approval of the resources. So we are, or the local team, while I was there, was in discussion with a very interesting publisher to be able to go through this process and try to get the books approved. The layers of complexity that need to be done, and as you're saying, so much can be done with just these small amounts of money. But really, to go through and to get these at the national scales, you need to be able to go through all of these processes. And those barriers are actually surprisingly expensive. And this is a real lesson in that side as well, that, yes, there's so much grassroots initiative which can happen and which can spread and can be enough. But we really need to also be working at the national levels, at the governmental levels. And that's something where the processes that have been put in place actually come with financial barriers, which have to be navigated.
And even within that, I think anyone who's listening is thinking, what are the business models there? And I think those are hard challenges. How do you share ownership? If we need a publisher to get something to scale, to get something to approval, all those different things, how do they have their business model? But then there's also the tech piece. How are authors who are doing work? Who are the different people who are benefiting, rightly benefiting, because they're contributing work and value and strategic knowledge and all of those different pieces, but how do you get all of those things? There's so many pieces that have to work, and yet it doesn't work without those networks, without that collaboration, without that shared ownership and agency.
So, very concretely, in Kenya, as I understand it, if you go through the approval process in a particular way and you get selected as a digital resource to be distributed freely, then what happens is the government buys a licensed version to distribute freely for a certain amount, which can then be shared amongst the publisher and the authors and so on. But that is one of the routes. There are then other routes as well. That one of the really strong pieces which we discussed with the publisher is the ability to work with school groups to be able to create tailored variants for individual communities, school communities that want to have more control in some sense and to be able to have their own input into not just the branding, but also the nature of it. Now, again, whether that's then an approved version or not, these are all interesting questions. So there's so many different business models around this that come out. And it's really one of the things which I'm really excited about in the way this is taking shape is that because of how we're building the technology in the communities, there's a real opportunity for different countries to take steps ahead and to then build from what others have done. So Kenya is way ahead at the moment, but the work which is planned for Ghana might mean that in 6 months' time, actually the textbooks in Ghana could leapfrog and actually get ahead of where the Kenyan system is, because they have certain inroads and they're building on certain things that didn't exist in Kenya. And then that leapfrogging could then help the Kenyan colleagues to push this forward in other ways. So this fact that we're working across contexts, that's something which has always been part of our strategy, but is also something which I believe could create virtuous cycles where within a context, sometimes you can get stuck, and that's fine. It's okay to sometimes get stuck and be blocked for a bit. But if you can make sure that the ideas are then stimulating things elsewhere, that can help unstick you in the future. So this sort of, these virtuous cycles that I think could emerge from working across these different contexts could be incredible.
I also think that mirrors what we experience with, if we just think about textbooks versus stack. Sometimes people enter through the assessment problem where they're just really trying to get more formative assessment to their students, let them have that access. And sometimes the problems are resources in a textbook sense of, we don't have something that aligns with our curriculum. And even within that, I don't think it's just that binary. I think there are a lot of other things that are also problems. And at any given time, in any given place, I think there are so many different ways that we can enter, in the sense that someone is trying to solve this very particular problem. And because it's such an acute pain point, they are open to new solutions. They are more collaborative. There's something different than if with everyone, we're just like, okay, new textbooks. And then some people are going to say, you know what, we're fine with our existing textbooks. This isn't a problem we're trying to solve. And so there's so much happening across country, across problem. And so that creates so much opportunity. And I think you have always had, I think this is uncomfortable for some people, but this willingness to hold lightly, even as we have a strategic plan of action, this willingness to hold space for, well, if something bubbles up in one place, that's just a massive opportunity. We need to be able to pivot and lean into that and put energy and resources there to capture the opportunity, not just be so rigidly stuck and like, well, this was our plan, this is where we're working, because that's going to stymie progress.
Absolutely. And it creates, the one that happened literally while we were in Kenya last week was these colleagues from South Sudan who came and said, this stuff which is happening with the textbooks in Kenya, and now you're looking at Ghana and so on, we need this in South Sudan. I have a school I can pilot. And I said, okay, yes, but what about the, do you have actually resources? Oh, here, I'll send you the PDFs of the textbooks. And I said, oh, the PDFs are good. Do you know who authored them? Yes, I know the people in the ministry. I'll talk to the people in the ministry. Can you get the permission for us to use these materials? Because they're not actually open materials. Yes, I'll talk to them when I get back. And so the right person in the right place can have the right contacts to just mean that actually maybe South Sudan, of all places, becomes one of those places which just drives forward because we have the right contacts, we have the right demand, we have a school which is willing to pilot, and so on. That ability, as you say, to pivot and say, okay, if you have all of this lined up, we can help you. We can make things happen.
Yes, there's so much in there. And I think also what I hear in so much of this is how much sparking there is when people are empowered to take ownership in that way, that if you just come in and you're kind of passively listening to somebody who's talking about, here's our solution, you could use it, it's like, all right, that's nice, but you're not so excited. Whereas what I think, and this has been true for Stack, I think all along, there's like really genuine excitement about this idea. Well, wait, we could take this, we could transform it, we could make it work for our context. Well, I guess I would be curious to come back to the Kenyan example, because that work is further along in some sense. How did their work, their insights, whatever has already emerged from that work, how did that shape what other people were seeing. And we've been very focused on Africa, but this was the global STAT conference. I'm curious how things sparked across continents, very different educational contexts, very different resource contexts.
That was incredible, actually, because the international contingent, many of them, this was totally new. And many of them, they've been in touch since. They just left inspired. Because I think the expectation coming in, because the STAT conference has never been outside of Europe before, the expectation coming in was that, okay, in Europe, we're way ahead of everything else. There was a colleague from Japan who came. I was so grateful for him for making the trip and coming. He's doing wonderful work there. They've got a community which is over 15 years old in terms of using STAT in Japan. And they're a really well-established community. So them coming in, they had things to share which were valuable. But the energy coming out of the African community using STAC was just contagious. And so you really got this sort of the European community, the Japanese, the international community more broadly. Of course, the US has not been a big STAC user, but the most US participants who have ever attended the event were there. And again, you could see that, oh, wow, there's stuff happening here. And that was really symbiotic. The one that I loved is a colleague from Southampton came in. And you can see that this could be the making of their research because the speed at which things are moving in Africa is just creating all these opportunities for research. And there isn't the infrastructure to actually do all the research which is needed. So that creates this wonderful opportunity for collaboration where the support from the International Institute can be involved in studies at a scale they couldn't dream of doing at their career stage and so on in the UK or Europe. But by supporting the research with the African partners, they are helping them to do the learning that they want to be doing. But they're also actually getting research results which are of global importance and global relevance. Those synergies were just sparking all over the place. One more very quick thing, and then I'll hand over again, so to speak, because the bit which was really interesting was that in Kenya, there was one university that had used STAC for summative assessment, and that was seen as being out of reach. But what they did was paired in significance with what Zurich is doing in Europe and how far they'd taken STAC for summative assessment. And so, this fact that you had these really high resource universities and low resource universities both trying not just for the formative piece, but for the summative piece as well, and seeing how actually in this time when AI is pushing people back to more traditional exams, electronic exams using STAC are a genuine alternative, and that there are mechanisms in place to make this as secure and as sensible as other exams. And there are high resource universities and low resource universities which are showing this is possible. That was really exciting as well.
There's so much. It's hard to know what piece to latch on to. One thing that just stands out for me is we often talk about textbooks, and I think people think like, oh, textbooks, they just picture some hardback book and it doesn't seem that interesting. But I think what you're capturing here is textbooks is just kind of the proxy or the entry point or the conceptual framework that people recognize for what is actually this very robust ecosystem of behaviors, resources, things that have often sat independently. One person owns this, one person owns this. What does it look like for all of those things to come together? You wonder sometimes why assessment doesn't work. Well, often assessment is totally independent of what the teacher's doing. You know, you're going to some website that has great resources and it's really helpful and a student is practicing stuff, but it's not directly tied for them to really access a lot of practice materials, the things that help them achieve mastery. It can feel quite disconnected. It's not tied to their realities. So you can see all of these different things. Well, what does it look like when these start to come together? Also, something I heard in this, which I really like, and I think is just something that needs to be way more part of our world, is this idea that, well, high resource contexts hold certain things and do certain things very well, but there are other things they do very badly or don't have access to, or there's such well-trod paths that they can't even step off of those. And then low resource contexts have their own lacks, but they also are doing all kinds of really creative, innovative things. Often the absence of something means that people can try all kinds of things as they're trying to step in new directions. And so what I hear was embodied in the Stack Conference is that fire that comes from when that intersects of like everyone is getting sparked by everyone else's things. And there's not the arrogance of just assuming, well, what's happening in my place is obviously the best. You're suddenly thinking, whoa, what these guys are doing is really cool. And yeah, they don't have the stuff that we have, but wait a second. And so that feels so energizing just for everyone involved.
And I want to come back to your point about what do we mean by textbooks? Because in commercial environments where you have these expensive systems, which are often embodied by the commercial textbook publishers, where you have aligned education resources with assessment pieces, with a system for the teachers or lecturers to engage with the students and how they're engaging with those resources, and all that is working together in symphony, so to speak. These are associated internationally with textbook publishers. And this is why we talk about textbooks, because the commercial textbook publishers have done a good job at times of tying these things together and giving the teacher and the lecturer the experiences of having a coherent system with their learning management system, with their students, with their assessment, all of that tied together. We need the equivalent, but which is not behind a paywall where only high resource environments can afford it. And that's really what we talk about when we're talking about textbooks. We're talking about the equivalent of these commercial publishers, but in ways that can scale and that can scale across resource environments. That's what we're thinking about in textbooks. And at the heart of that is the assessment piece, really. The innovation which came out of the Kenyan team to integrate Stack into pretext, the textbook authoring system pretext, can have embedded assessments which are at the forefront of what's possible with electronic assessment for the mathematical sciences. The fact that that's possible means that we can now create what we call textbooks, which can live outside and alongside learning management systems. But that means that they are more scalable and they can be used in environments where otherwise we have been constrained by the learning management system that people are using and their ability to work within that. So really, the textbooks, as you say, is this proxy, and it is something where I'm so excited that it is again sparking between the high resource environments and the low resource environments. What's happening in the low resource environments, bringing these together, is sparking innovation in high resource environments. Caltech is going to use the technologies developed for Kenya to author a PDE's book, Partial Differential Equations textbook, for their undergraduates. It's great to see these sorts of synergies happening.
I think we should leave it there. That was a lot. That was a great encapsulation to close out with. I do think we should drop the link to the Kenyan textbook crowdfunding campaign into our podcast description, just so if people are interested in supporting that work, which really is supporting work on the ground, they can do that. Obviously, they could also give money to us. But specifically, since it's been the focus of this conversation, I think the textbooks work in Africa and Kenya in particular, though I can say Africa broadly based on what you're describing, there's so much going on. Yeah, I guess just to do that last flag.
Absolutely. And it's certainly the initial stuff would be in Kenya still. There is a need there to really build up that team. But in that crowdfunding, the ambitious goals are for it to become Pan-African. So you're right, there's 35 countries in Africa right now having CBC competency-based curriculums introduced where these innovations would be really relevant.
Great. Thanks, David.
Thanks.